It is time for TMG.
Hey, it's time.
It's time.
It's time for TMG.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to TMG. I'm your host, Travis Patton Sr. I enjoy discovering and sharing real-life moments of inspiration from everyday people. And this show is about finding moments of inspiration for our everyday lives. And look, and if you're going to tell me something, then tell me something good.
Hi, everybody! Welcome to a brand new episode of TMG. I'm your host, Travis Patton Sr. Hey, guys, real quick, don't forget to do me a favor. Don't forget to visit, subscribe, share, and like our YouTube page. That's Tell Me Something Good with a capital T. And as always, I want to give a huge shout out to my biggest supporter, my biggest fan, my lovely wife, Nicole. Hey, girl, how you doing? I know you're watching. I know you're listening. Man, this week has kept me on pins and needles about this episode. And I know, just like me, you could not wait to get here. You could not wait for Thursday to arrive. Well, it's here, and it's time for TMG. And I'm so glad that each and every one of you are joining the show today. And whether you happen to be in Belgium or in France, or maybe you happen to be in Great Britain, or maybe you're in Portugal, or maybe you're somewhere else around the world listening to the show, maybe South Africa, or guys, wherever you are, thank you for tuning in to the show, to this worldwide podcast known as TMG. Thank you, guys. And whether this is your very first time tuning in, your very first time hearing the show, guys, do me a favor. If this is your first time listening to the show, I want you to type in the chat, type in the word new. Yeah, N-E-W. And maybe you said, Travis, man, I'm not watching the show right now. I'm listening to this on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or on Pandora. Wherever you are listening to the show, go ahead and just say the words, I'm new. Yeah, go ahead and say those words. We'll put it in the atmosphere real quick. Just say the words, I'm new. And maybe you're just saying, Travis, man, listen, I've been listening to the show ever since you've been streaming, and I'm glad, man, I've been tuning in each week. Listen, let me take this time to tell all those individuals who have been tuning in every week, each week, thank you so much. I'm so glad that you've been tuning in, and I'm so glad that you're here. This week's episode is unlike any other episode. This episode has been specifically crafted and designed to make sure when you walk away from this episode, yeah, you're walking away real good in a better off-season condition. Guys, you know how we like to do this show every week. Everybody knows that this show is all about finding moments of inspiration in our everyday lives. So if you have an inspiring story that you'd like to tell and maybe come on the show, drop us an email at tellmesomething21@gmail.com. That's tellmesomething21@gmail.com. And he said, but Travis, listen, man, I know someone that has an amazing story and will be a fabulous guest on your show. But I don't want to come on the show, man. I'm a little camera shy. That's okay. Still send in their information to tellmesomething21@gmail.com. And guess what? You could even remain anonymous if you'd like. So there you go. Guys, I'm going to go ahead and play the information by our sponsors. Once I play that information, guys, we're going to come back. We're going to dive into this episode because this, yeah, this is going to be good. Don't go away. Guys, that's right. I'm going to be right back. It's just the sponsorship information. Don't go nowhere. I'm coming back now.
ARC is a proud associate sponsor of TMG Tell Me Something Good podcast. Please use the special link, bit.ly bit.ly/tellmesomethinggood and visit our sponsor. Remember, I may earn a commission when you buy through this link. Fanatics is the place to go for all of your officially licensed sports gear from your favorite sports and sports teams. Use the special link bit.ly/tellmesomething21 and pay a visit to our sponsor today. Remember, I may earn a commission when you buy through this link.
Breaking your phone sucks. Breaking your phone, then trying to sell it online, sucks. Breaking your phone, selling it online, only to find out that the money you'll only get for it sucks. Breaking your phone, selling it online for peanuts, shipping it, and finding out that you got scammed, sucks. Gizmogo makes selling your phone fast, safe, and simple by paying you the highest price for your device. And with Gizmogo's free unlimited shipping and price guarantee, millions of people are starting to sell on Gizmogo. Fast, safe, simple. Gizmogo, the best way to sell.
There it is, right there, guys. Listen, visit one of our affiliate sponsors. The information is right below in the chat. He said, but Travis, look, man, I'm not watching this. I'm listening to this later. That's cool. If you're listening up to this later on, guys, listen up, because guess what? You will hear the information as well. Guys, if you did not catch this week's episode title, this week's episode, guys, title is called Weird and Wonderful. Yeah, Weird and Wonderful. And I know many people right now, you're wondering, what is this guy talking about when he talks about something being weird? Guys, this month, the month of April, is typically celebrated or a month set aside for Autism Awareness Month. And I wanted to up the game a little bit to include not just individuals who are on the spectrum, but individuals who are neurodiverse. But of course, as we know, we've had great guests on the show already this month talking about ADHD, individuals who are on the spectrum. And if you're wondering, you kind of need a definition for autism. Autism spectrum disorder is a neurodevelopmental disorder that affects a person's communication, behavior, and social interaction. So this month, we've been talking about individuals who are on the spectrum. But now we're going to take it a little bit higher to individuals who are a little bit deeper, that kind of encompasses everything, not just those individuals who are on the spectrum, but those individuals who are described as neurodiverse individuals. And this week's episode, God, is entitled Weird and Wonderful. Now, if you were a kid, now I know when I was a child, one of the things I enjoyed doing was looking at a kaleidoscope. Yeah, I enjoyed looking at a kaleidoscope. Now, you use mirrors, and they kind of aim in at each other, and they reflect other different shapes and colors, and you have a kaleidoscope. And if you were a kid and you ever looked at a kaleidoscope and you saw the colors and the pretty shapes, man, did you not like that? I thought it was one of the coolest things in the world. Now, I've always enjoyed kaleidoscopes. They were some of the coolest things. They've always amazed me. Their different shapes and colors are endless. And just when you thought you've been amazed by one, another one, just as unforgettable, appears and shows up. We all have individual definitions that come to mind when we hear the word weird. The first time I saw a kaleidoscope, the first thing came to my mind was, that was very weird. I liked it, but it just was weird because it was so different. I've never seen anything like that before. It was weird because I've never seen anything behave like that before. And we all have individual definitions that come to mind when we hear the word weird. Truth is,
Weird means more than something that is eerie or something that is scary or even creepy. It can also mean something that is surprisingly unusual, uniquely abnormal, and unexpectedly uncanny. Potential is a word we all have heard and used before, but I've learned something about potential. Potential isn't always easily identified. Potential sometimes hides itself. Yeah, potential will sometimes hide. Sometimes potential will wear a mask. It wears the mask of obscurity, where there are people with hidden talents and gifts that get overlooked. It sometimes wears the mask of indifference and trauma, where gifted individuals struggle to heal while at the same time trying to master their own abilities. Sometimes potential hides in the most unexpected forms and most unexpected places. Sometimes it hides behind words like different, atypical, and weird. Neurodiversity recognizes that there is no single quote-unquote normal way for brains to function, and that differences in neurological processings are a natural part of human variation. Yeah, just as your fingerprints are different, our minds, our brains also function just as different. It may include individuals with ADHD or ASD. How do we find ways to support independence, help discover self-awareness, and encourage self-advocacy to neurodiverse children and teens, but also find ways to build families? Our guest today, guys, is a board certified as a behavior analyst, and she has a bachelor's of science degree in sociology. Guys, I want you to do me a huge favor. I'm going to give you a huge TMG welcome to our very special guest today, guys, Dr. Diane Huston.
Hello.
Dr. Huston, I am so glad that you are here on the show with us again. How's it been going, Dr. Huston?
It's been going really, really well. Just really enjoying the work I get to do and the people I get to meet and just having a good time.
That's fantastic, Dr. Huston. I couldn't wait to get you on the show. I could not wait to talk to you. So what an absolute honor and a privilege, Dr. Huston, to have you back with us. And I must say, I'm excited to have this moment to discuss today's topic, weird and wonderful, Dr. Huston. It seems like an oxymoron. It seems like there's no way that those two things could exist at the same time with the same person that you discuss it. Something can't be weird and wonderful. But when I look at this picture, Dr. Huston, when I look at this picture of this kaleidoscope, when I look at this picture, it's weird, Dr. Huston. But the more I look at it, the colors stand out and it becomes wonderful, Dr. Huston. So it is possible. It is possible, Dr. Huston, that both weird and wonderful can exist in the same place and at the same time and in the same space. Dr. Huston, I gave a brief introduction of you and who you are and what you do, but tell our audience a little bit about yourself and what it is you do for those who are meeting you for the very first time on our show. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Dr. Huston.
Sure. So I am a board certified behavior analyst. I also have a background in psychology, school psychology, and special education. And one of one of the things that I've loved over the course of 20 years of work is being able to meet new people who don't fit the mold of what you would expect, right? So these are people who maybe might have been called weird. Maybe they have a different way of communicating, a different preferred way of socializing, whatever it is. You know, there are pieces of all of these humans, toddlers, preschoolers, elementary school kids, high schoolers, the parents of all of these people, the caregivers, the grandparents. You know, everybody wants to see their loved one thrive and excel. And what I often am doing when I'm working with clients is helping them to figure out and really embrace what excelling means for them. It might be that you are exceptionally good at remembering and reciting the lyrics of pop songs. I just had this experience last week. It was pretty amazing. not a strength of mine. Maybe I thought it was when I was younger, but not anymore. And something that makes someone really unique, really wonderful. And the first time you meet them, you might think it's kind of weird. But I often think, too, weird is the word we use when we don't know about something, when it's unfamiliar. And so, you know, trying to shift this idea that weird doesn't mean bad. Weird is just the way that we have been taught to define that word, right?
Exactly.
And so I work with kids who are neurodivergent, teenagers, individually in small groups. A lot of what we really do is learn about how our individual brains work and figure out how we can navigate. And I'm saying we because I learn a lot as well. How we can make an uncomfortable situation for us, maybe something that we have to do, like sit in class for 50 minutes or do homework after school. How do we make that work with our brains so it doesn't feel as difficult?
Exactly. Dr. Hudson, I love what you're saying because, you know, we do, first piece, you talked about, you attack the word weird. And people say the word weird when we don't understand enough about something. Right. When we don't understand enough about something, what do? The first thing we do, we label it. It's like moving, whenever we're moving. Right. And, you know, you have items for the kitchen. What do? You put those items for the kitchen in the box and you mark kitchen on the box. You have items for the living room. You put item in that box. And you put living room. You have items for the bedroom and you put bedroom. And then there's that box in which you don't really know where it goes. You don't really know where it belongs. So you write the letters M-I-S-C, miscellaneous. It means I know you fit somewhere, but I just don't know where yet. I haven't figured it out yet, but I know you fit. I'm not going to throw you away. I'm not going to discard you, but you do fit somewhere. And when we talk about individuals who are neurodiverse, you know, individuals who may be on the spectrum, who may be dyslexic or whatever it might be, and it's how the brain works. They fit somewhere. And I don't want to say they, but people fit somewhere. Every person fits somewhere. Let me just give this quick disclaimer. If you're watching this episode, if you're listening to this episode and you felt like you didn't fit, I got news for you. If you taking a breath, you fit somewhere. You may not fit where you're trying to fit, but you do belong somewhere. Yeah, there's a tribe just for you. There's a group of individuals. There's people who will accept you for who you are, what you do, and everything there is all about you. You do fit somewhere. And Dr. Hudson, you were saying something on a point that we've had the wrong definition of weird. And individuals that you work with, you said when you first meet them, someone may say they're weird, but it's empowering to the fact that we're taking that word back because we've been working with the wrong definition, and you've been not just working with the young adults, but I heard you also say with the teens, but you can't work with the teens if you're not also working with the families. So mom, dad, caregivers, aunts, uncles, cousins, grandparents, whoever is. So your job not only is facilitating what this child may need or what this individual may need, but you're also empowering the caregivers and the parents as well along this very same journey. So it's kind of like if you had to walk this teenager through this journey, you walk in this caregiver through the journey at the same time. So if this is somebody's first time going through this journey, it could be kind of challenging already for the teen or the young adult. But now you have an adult who's set in their ways, who's having that oh my gosh moments, and they're having to learn some stuff that at one point in time they thought I was through learning.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, you can't deny that. You know, even if I'm working if my client is a 12-year-old, you know, and I'm working with them and we're teaching skills,
right?
There has to be some work that parents are willing to do as well, because chances are there are some tricky scenarios that play out at home that maybe could be handled a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. But we all go into solving any problem with the tools that we have, right?
Correct.
And so if we don't have a different tool, we're going to try to solve that problem by, you know, using the hammer for everything. And it is a very, I really do feel very strongly that supporting parents through this journey is critical. You can't work with a kid in isolation and send them on their way and think that everything is going to work out. Yeah. You really need to have that wraparound.
Yeah, and just hope that, oh, yeah, well, it'll work out. They'll get it. It'll work itself out. Because when you're working with the parents, it builds that continuity. You can begin it with the child, with the teen, or with the young adult, but you want to incorporate that adult, that caregiver, so the things that you're teaching in your office or your practice, that it carries over in the home. So it's not just a one-a-week thing or once-a-month thing. The individual continues to see this readily every day worked out. That's great. How did you in talking about this? You know, people say, you know, you ask a child, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a doctor. I want to be a fireman. I want to be a police officer. I remember being a kid. That was one of the main things they would ask kids when I was coming up. What do you want to be? I don't know if they even ask children that anymore. You know, what do you want to be when you grow up? You know, you hear doctor, teacher, all those things. And how does someone say, yo, you know what? When I grow up, what I want to do is have a degree in behavioral analyst. I want to do that stuff. How did you get started in this field? And what was, and I got to throw this word out to you because we're going to throw this word a lot. Get ready for hear the word weird a lot. How did you get started in this field? And what was your weird, when I say weird, I mean surprisingly unexpected, you know, your uncanny moment, your uniquely different and pleasantly surprising moment that made you decide to begin working in this field?
I think part of the reason that I've gotten this far is because I haven't finished growing up.
Oh, I love that.
It just keeps happening and morphing and changing. So I got started in this field initially when I was in college. I wanted to be a preschool teacher. And so I focused a lot on early intervention and like I love reading books to kids. And as I went through my degree, I considered like clinical psychology, which I don't know if that's universal around the world, but that's, you know, primarily working with kids who have mental health diagnoses. But I ended up getting into school psychology, which was kind of a blend of both of those things. So working with teams, supporting kids in special education. So I did that, and then I moved around a little bit, and then I was like, well, I keep moving around. I'd like to do something that can make me more independent. So then I became a BCBA, and then I did that for a while for other companies, and then the hole that I found that I really wanted to fill is these older kids who don't, who often don't get support for various reasons. And so I've kind of specialized. My clients are mostly like first grade, 7 years old and up, a couple of tiny exceptions, but purposely that group of kids, which continues, you know, if you are neurodivergent, you don't outgrow it and it doesn't like disappear. It just shifts and looks different over the years. And so do your needs and the support that you need. So, you know, there's a lot of support available for young kids, toddlers. But it kind of falls off after you get into elementary school. And so that was kind of how I ended up working with the population that I do. And my weird moment, which I actually didn't really learn about, didn't put it all together until probably about 4 months ago. I was taking a class online, and one of the instructors is a professor that I had in undergrad. And I remember he was the one who introduced me to the idea of going to the University of Oregon, which is where I went for graduate school, and getting a school psychology degree. I had never heard of it. He handed me this pamphlet. I can imagine it, and I see it happening in the hallway right now. He handed me this pamphlet and said, you should look into this. I did end up on this, like, you know, path that's taken a lot of twists and turns. And then 4 months ago was taking a class from him. It was pretty wild. So I think that was probably my weird moment that got me here.
Hey, you know what, Dr. Essen, we all have those weird moments. If we were to sit and look back at our lives and look at what we're doing, things that we're accomplishing, things that we're trying to set goals to do, we've all had those weird moments where it was surprisingly unexpected. You know, I didn't expect this to happen. I didn't expect things to look that way. And man, what a wonderful surprise that it is happening to me. What a wonderful surprise happened. You said you work with teens, and you mentioned briefly that it is a sect of individuals that a lot of times that kind of the voice is kind of, I would say not heard, I would say muted. Society has a tendency to mute that section, you know, after middle school and in high school, their voices seem to be muted. And if their voices are muted, then that means whatever they're internalizing, whatever internal struggles, whatever's going on inside them also gets muted. So I would suggest, Dr. Hudson, that as many as students or individuals that you meet with and the people say there are, I would suggest there's there more, because people have a tendency to mute themselves when they don't fit in. People have a tendency to mute themselves when I don't look like everyone else. We'll mute ourselves when I don't seem to act like everyone else, when I'm not quote unquote normal like everyone else is. And if I can't fit in, then I'll just mute myself. If I can't be like that person, then I'll just mute myself. I never mind my own individual accomplishments, my own individual talents and gifts and potential that I have. If it's not like yours, then I will mute myself. I believe right now, Dr. Hudson, there's some people who's listening, and if they were to be honest, they know they've muted a good portion of their life. Maybe you have dyslexia. Maybe you are on the spectrum. Maybe you have some. You fall under this umbrella of neurodiversity, and maybe you just process information and you process things differently. And I believe, Dr. Hudson, that there are a large population of people that have muted themselves all for the sake of fitting in. All because, Dr. Hudson, they don't want that stigma of standing out. And everybody wants to stand out, Dr. Hudson, until it gets stigmatized. Everybody wants to stand out till the wrong person sees it. As long as the right people see you standing out, you're okay. You're okay. But when the wrong person sees you trying to be a standout, that's when it's a problem. When we hear when words like neurodiversity are used, some think it's a diagnosis. Let's clear that up. Some people think it's a diagnosis. Please shed some light on what the word actually or really means, Dr. Hudson.
Sure. So neurodiversity actually describes everybody. So it's just the pure, diverse way that all of the brains in the world are created. And then we've kind of decided that we've kind of decided, air quotes, that if your brain doesn't operate the way that most people's brains do, we're going to call you neurodivergent, like you're on a different path, right? And in doing that, it has very much caused those people who have brains that are unique, wired differently, weird, shall we say, those are people who, because they feel in a lot of places like they don't fit in, they do mute themselves, they mask. I guarantee you have someone in your family who probably has experienced not fitting in, feeling like nobody gets them, but they don't say anything about it because they don't want to rock the boat, right? So neurodiversity is everybody's brain. Neurodivergence is the brains that operate differently than the norm. And those typically are folks who maybe have a diagnosis of ADHD, maybe it's autism spectrum disorder, dyslexia, Tourette syndrome. The umbrella is neurodivergent. And within that are a lot of different other labels that we use to describe.
Absolutely. I love the way you broke that down into different and broke it down. And I like that fact that we set it up with a clear understanding that We label because you're not normal. So we don't know. So we got to label you. You're weird. You don't act like everybody else. But neurodiversity is everybody. It's how everybody's brain functions.
Location, the lab. Quentin only has 24 hours to sell his car. Is that even possible? He goes to Carvana.com.
What is this? A movie trailer?
He ignores the doubters, enters his license plate. Wow, that's a great offer. The car is sold, but will Carvana pick it up in time for...
They'll literally pick it up tomorrow morning. Done with the dramatics?
Car selling in record time.
Save your time. Go to Carvana.com and sell your car today. Pickup fees may apply.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
And I learned, Dr. Hudson, just as unique as everyone's fingerprints are, your brain works differently. Your brain works differently. No two brains operate the same, look the same. They just don't. And we spend so much of our time, we spend so much of our energy, Dr. Hudson, trying to be like someone else and be like others, when your brain isn't even wired to be like everybody else. Your brain isn't even wired to be like your neighbors or the people that we admire. It's not even wired to be that way. Why? We spend so much time trying to do the rewiring part, and your brain is already wired.
Exactly. The wires are there. They're functioning. They're doing what they're supposed to. It just is not the brain that other people are expecting. And so they go,
That's it. And they say, well, that's just weird. And you have to understand, we were talking about this earlier before the show, word weird in certain areas, aspects, it's been called strange, scary, and spooky. But if you go to other arenas, it's called surprisingly wonderful. And in science, it's called wonderfully, all these great things. But we settle on all the negative parts about weird. Well, today, we're going to take that word back. Today, we're planning on taking that word back. I looked up some information. I was doing some research for the show, Dr. Hudson, and I found this information. This is in 2024. A recent 2024 poll. 2024, that's last year, everybody. A recent 2024 poll indicated that 19% of U.S. adults identify as neurodiverse. And 14% believe the actual percentage between 10% and 20%. So they kind of think it's a little bit higher. So just a little bit. Just a little bit. Not a little, that much. Give or take a few things here. What are some contributing factors to such increased numbers? For example, maybe not wanting to tell anybody because of the stigma. Maybe it's the increased testing around it. What do you think may be increasing those numbers or kind of pushing those numbers north, Dr. Hudson?
So I really do feel like there's a combination of things. We are more aware that just because your brain works differently doesn't mean it's bad.
Exactly.
And so people are more open to the idea of exploring that. There's also on the provider end, there's more awareness and more nuances that people are looking for in terms of behaviors or ways of acting or communication styles. So there's more awareness. People are receiving more, and because of that, people will receive more diagnoses. Mm-hmm. Also, excuse me, the other thing is, I don't know exactly, if those were adults that self-identify too, because there's a large population of the neurodivergent community who self-identify. And there are a lot of reasons for that. A big primary one is because it is really expensive to go to the doctor and say, I think I might have autism. Could I have a full evaluation? That's going to set you back thousands of dollars in the United States. It is not available to everyone. And so because there is more awareness and in a lot of spaces, more acceptance of people who whose brains operate differently, there's also then more people who are like, huh, that kind of matches me.
Yeah, exactly. That's me.
Yeah, exactly. Which then I think is really interesting because it gets people considering, the patterns that they've established for themselves, how they've learned things, what do they try to avoid, what makes them comfortable. It's just a real interesting kind of self-discovery process.
I like that, Dr. Hudson. I like that because people I've noticed that society has become more self-aware of some things. Some things they become more self-aware of. It seems to be a buzzword to become more self-aware, and people have a tendency now more to say, you know what, I might be that, as opposed to, nah, it's not me. I might be that, and I'd rather look into it or self-diagnose myself. I'll self-diagnose myself as dyslexic. I see these things differently, and doing so, it will drive those numbers north. It will increase those numbers, and I believe that there are way more because we do mute ourselves as individuals, as humans. We do like to feel like we humans, the part of the psychology of humans is we like to fit in. That's just humans. That's just being a human, no matter who you are. Humans like to fit in. We are pack creatures. We're pack animals. We like to run in packs. Yeah, we do. And let's put it this way. People have their own cliques. And whether it's your family, in your clique or certain parts of your family that's your clique. We all have our own community. We all have our own pack. And because of that, you know, we get in those individuals. Now, where do you come in terms of what you do, in terms of how you work with these uncanny, surprisingly unexpected and pleasantly unique individuals? Where do you come in?
So I often am working with clients who have maybe like gone to see a counselor mm-hmm. before or a therapist, and like more traditional types of therapies they're not feeling a lot of success mm-hmm. with those, or their provider might be kind of stumped, this person isn't making as much progress as I right. would think. There are differences in working and supporting someone who's neurodivergent in terms of things that you're kind of always mm-hmm. aware of. But to me, it's kind of an automatic awareness. And I think that has just come over time. Right. So I'm always thinking about, okay, what does my environment look like? Is it loud? Is there going to be something unusual happening? Is there a different way I could present this? Do they look uncomfortable? Should they be doing something with their hands while we're, you know, hanging out? Or how can I pull in their interests to make this particular topic something that resonates more with them? And always, 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 the bottom line is that I'm listening as hard as I can, and I am giving people who usually feel like they don't have a mm-hmm, place mm-hmm. to talk about what they like, a place to talk about what they like. I mean, I've learned all kinds of facts and interesting things over the years that I would never have known had I not met a particular person who was really interested in sharks or really interested in different types of fish.
Right.
Like, wouldn't have happened. And I think that's really one of the critical pieces for neurodivergent individuals to feel like they are included and they Absolutely. Have a place, is they just need people who will listen to what they're saying and include them and offer, like, hey, do you want to come to do correct, this correct. Thing with us?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Hey, yo, Dr. Hudson, that right there alone, and providing a safe space for people to feel like they belong, that right there is empowering to every individual, regardless whether you have self-identified yourself as neurodivergent or you've reached an actual diagnosis. It is empowering to know that you have a space. And I keep emphasizing that, because when I look at this picture of this kaleidoscope, when I look up this picture of this kaleidoscope, it is weird when you first look at it. It is different when you first look at it. It is odd when you first look at it. But also, when you look at it, it is also pleasantly unique. It is surprisingly unexpected how everything that's kind of comes together. And believe it or not, it has its own space. And just like you, Dr. Hudson, when you're speaking to your clients and your students and everyone, you're emphasizing that you have your own space. You have your place where you belong. You're not some alien from some different world. It's not feeling like you don't belong to humanity, not feeling like you don't belong to this planet. And I love the fact that you provide that space for everyone. We talked earlier about parents and caregivers being involved in supporting your clients, your children, and the young adults. In which ways do you also offer support for the parents and the families and the caregivers of these individuals?
There are a lot of different ways that can look. Sometimes it's just, again, providing a space,
right?
Because these are caregivers who probably a harder mm-hmm. time talking about their kids with their oh, wow. friends because their friends oh, wow. don't get it. There are caregivers who have tried and tried and tried, and everything they've tried or a good not resulted in what textbooks tell you your kids yeah. are doing, right? And so a lot of what I do is creating space, not just for my client, if my client is the kid, but for the parents too. Mm. And kind of help the way that we are talking about and reclaiming the word weird. Mm-hmm. I also like to try to help parents reclaim their perspective of their kid.
Absolutely.
They've been Absolutely. Told and gotten all of these messages that
yeah.
their child is not enough, is not sufficient,
yep. Yep.
not meeting X, Y, or Z.
Yeah.
And that helps exactly zero people when you tell people that.
I mean, how do you think that made me feel as a parent to hear stuff like that?
Right, right, exactly. And so part of it is, it is not for lack of trying, right? These mm-hmm. are parents who, in the grand scheme of parenting, have out-parented so many of the rest of us.
Oh, man, what you say?
And what it is helping them to kind of change their perspective on their child's behavior. Not that we're accepting all, you know, like dangerous behavior or anything like that, but really understanding the nuances of what that behavior means. Like, why in this situation does my son seem really comfortable? But then we add in this one other family member and they have a lot of difficulty with sharing their ideas
yep.
or, you know, really helping the parent to see, okay, well, that looks like maybe they're uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So how do you support your kid in that moment? You know, instead of continuing to make them uncomfortable in that situation, how do you give them the words to advocate? You know, hey, I need a break. Hey, could you move farther away? Hey, could you be a little bit quieter? It's really loud for me in here. And so, you know, the flip side of that is helping clients to be more flexible about sometimes those things can't always happen. And when that's the case, then what do we do? We do, in my work, we do a lot of planning, a lot of future planning. Like, okay, if this were to happen in this space, what would you do then?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So it really is a lot about helping parents to see that their child isn't, they're not purposely doing things to bother people.
Right.
They're trying to fit into this world that is not built for them.
It's not designed for them at all. It's not.
Yeah. Yeah. And in order for us to help them be able to fit in, we've got to take their perspective. We've got to look at things a little bit differently.
You know, it's like, it goes back to looking at this kaleidoscope. You know, when I learned how to look at a kaleidoscope, Dr. Hudson, my science teacher, I believe it was in the third or fourth grade, she was teaching us that when you look at this kaleidoscope, she said, it depends on how the way you look at it in which to see what colors that you're going to see. So what you see determines on how you look at it. Well, it's the same thing with every individual. What we see in people, Dr. Hudson, is going to determine how we look at them. The way parents are going to see their children determines on how you're going to look at your child. What perspective are you going to see your child? What lens do you see your child? What words, and let me put it this way, what words, or better yet, which words are you using to see your child? Yeah. Which words are you using? Are you using the words where they aren't feeling empowered? Are you using words like they're too strange, they're too abnormal, that they don't fit in? In other words, they're crazy, they don't fit. That are you using words that take away their power? Or are you using words that are inclusive, saying, hey, you know what? You do belong. You do matter. You fit. You have a place here. Simple things like having a seat for them at the table and saying, this is your chair. No one else can sit in this chair. This is your space. Because when you give them that, Dr. Hudson, you are empowering them and saying, this is my space. That is yours, but this is my space. You belong there and I belong here. No matter what comes or what goes, I belong here. Simple things like that, practical things like that, applications like that, Dr. Hudson, can help them feel like I belong, like I matter. I do fit in some place. Now, Dr. Hudson, now I am not naive enough to think that you go through life and you're doing what you're doing and everything's just rainbows and butterflies and, you know, and it's blue skies and everybody's just floating around on clouds and tiptoeing, right? We're still human. We're people. We're still alive. Now, there are always hurdles and obstacles and challenges in life. I don't care what you're doing. If you had a job in a pie factory tasting pies, there would be challenges. There would be obstacles. You'd be like, I don't like this kind of pie. There'd be something. Oh, where's my fork? I can never find my fork. There would always be some hurdle and some obstacle in life you have to go through. What would you say, Dr. Hudson, are some of the more frequent ones that you've encountered?
So a lot of my clients, like I said, are like 7 years old and up. And so many of them are verbal. They communicate with oral language. Okay. And a lot of times what is tricky for them at home or with peers or at school is not fully understanding what it is we're saying. So we might use a metaphor like, now I can't even think of one, a metaphor or a simile that for something that we're trying to say. So maybe we're trying to communicate that we want someone to hurry up, right? And we say something along the lines of, hurry, it's lickety split. We got to get going. Lickety split.
Take a leg.
What in the world? Like, what is that? That doesn't even meet, and those two words don't go together. And so not fully understanding a lot of the phrases that might be used, you know, in more of a neurotypical environment can be tricky. From a parent's perspective, I think what comes up over and over is parents feeling like very badly and like they don't know how to help their child if they are struggling with friends or not finding their place where they fit in. That comes up no matter how many times or how much support a child has gotten. Parents are always feeling like they haven't done quite enough. Maybe they could have set up a different play date or had taught their kid a different way of keeping friends, and things would have been a little bit easier for them down the road. I think that's pretty universal though, right? For a parent, whether your child is neurodivergent or neurotypical,
you're always
wondering what could I have done better or differently. But socializing and wanting their child to have a place where they feel accepted is a huge barrier that a lot of parents are always feeling like they're not quite meeting the mark on.
Yeah, I can understand that because every parent wants their child to feel safe when they leave the home. And I say safe, I mean relatively safe, that, okay, they're with their friends. And when you say they're with their friends, I mean they're with someone who accepts them, someone who understands them, someone who communicates with them, but not just communicates with them, Dr. Hudson, but someone who understands their method of communication.
Yes.
Because communication is a two-way street. It's not just one individual doing all the talking. It is you understanding someone else's method of communication. Maybe, for instance, let me put it this way. So let's say you call somebody, Dr. Hudson. You call a teenager nowadays, and what do? They text you back. I could call my daughter right now. She's 20-something years old. She will not return my call. She will send me a text message. So I had to understand that is her method of communicating. So whenever we're meeting someone, we have to understand their method of communication may be different. Yes. Their method of communication may not be as what we would say typical. You know, we may want them to pick the phone up and call us, but their method of communication is different. So when we're talking about someone who might be neurodivergent, we also have to understand that they may communicate differently. And we have to understand their way of communication. And I can understand as a parent how frustrating that could possibly be when they're coming in and say, I'm pulling my hair out, Dr. Hudson, because I'm trying to get someone to just get them, to just get what they're saying. They're saying it, but people just aren't getting it. And I can certainly understand how the parent can be or feel just as much frustration as a child or as a teenager, as a 7-year-old, the 10-year-old, especially the 7-year-old. You're just learning, you know, your communication style. You know, you're coming, finding out who you are. You're finding out a little bit about your personality. And then you find the people who just don't get who you are. You're like, oh, my gosh. I spent 7 years here and I'm talking, I'm communicating, and nobody gets what I'm saying. It's tough, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wanted to say this, guys, as a disclaimer. When we encounter someone who is neurodivergent, or because we're all neurodiverse, so it's neurodivergent, whether it's ADHD or someone on the spectrum or dyslexia, it doesn't matter. Each individual brings something uniquely surprising with them. They bring something pleasantly surprising with them. They bring something pleasantly uncanny, something you didn't expect with them. That X factor, that they bring something with them that you like, man, I knew something was missing, but now I see what it is. They bring something pleasantly surprising with them. So when we use the word weird, we are discussing talented individuals. Make no bones about it. We're discussing talented individuals. It can easily be said each of us, hopefully, is maybe a little weird in some way. Dr. Hudson, do you also offer virtual services as well for what you do, or is it all in office only?
It is a combination of both. Yeah. So I see clients in office here. I'm in Wyoming, but I have virtual clients in Utah, and I'm super excited about this. What I'm literally just mapping out right now, Travis, is a virtual group for middle school girls. That's going to happen this summer. So regardless of where you live, join us, because you're going to find some people who are going to get you and understand you, and you're going to be able to build community, and your communication and your interests are going to be celebrated. So join us.
That's phenomenal, Dr. Hudson. That's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Now, I know the last time you were here, you were doing, is it ABC Pathways?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you're still part of that? You're still doing that?
Yes. Yep. That is my business. That's the new rebrand, is ABC Pathways. You're going to kind of start seeing that roll out a little bit more associated with my name. There it is right there. So there's a website, abc-pathways.com.
Yep.
And then on Instagram, you can find me as Dr. Diane Hudson, or I'm still under Advanced Behavior Change on Instagram until we get that changed. But yep.
Awesome.
That's where you find me.
I love that, Dr. Hudson. I absolutely love that. Great information for us. What is something, Dr. Hudson, you would want to say to encourage the parents, the caregivers, students, everyone? Something you would say to encourage those in the lives of those who are in the lives or in the neurodivergent individuals. So what would you say to encourage the parents and caregivers who are in the lives of neurodivergent individuals, kind of keep them going? And what would you like to say to someone who says, yeah, I am neurodivergent, to encourage them as well, who feels weird and they're battling with that word weird?
To the parents and the caregivers, the teachers, I would say, give yourself a minute and try to put yourself in their shoes. There is a whole different perspective that child has, that teenager has. And it might not make sense outwardly to you in the moment. Like, why are they getting so upset about X, Y, or Z? Put yourself in their shoes. Maybe they've been battling the same thing all day, every day. And finally, they got mad. Lost their being in science class, you know?
That's it.
Slow down, put yourself in their shoes. For someone who feels like they don't fit, who's kind of wrestling with having been called weird, I would think about what the parts of you are that are unique, that other people do not, the exact things that people call you weird for are the things that they just don't understand that you are exceptionally good at. You get it. You're interested in it. It makes sense to you. And keep looking for those other people who will accept you, because they are out there. I promise they are out there.
Absolutely. Man, I absolutely love that. Dr. Hudson, thank you for being a part of the show today. Thank you for carving out some time to come over to our world, part of the world here at TMG. Don't go away, Dr. Hudson, because I may bring you back in here for a minute. Guys, I'm going to say this real quick. Kaleidoscopes. I'll put this picture up again, Dr. Hudson, before we get out of here. This picture of this kaleidoscope. I love kaleidoscopes, guys, because you kind of never know what you're going to get. You know, it's going to be something mind-blowing. You know it's going to be something that you can't forget. Kaleidoscopes are a diverse collection of colors arranged in various patterns. Yeah, this take a look at this picture of this kaleidoscope here. And each individual that experiences some form of neurodiverse behavior is no different and might easily be described as a kaleidoscope. Being described as a kaleidoscope, being uniquely created and wondrously amazing. At first glance, one might even say that kaleidoscopes are weird. I did when I first saw one. But when we continue looking, its beauty becomes more boldly apparent. Yeah, it really does. Nothing can be taken away from what we discussed here today. Absolutely nothing can be taken away from what we discussed here today, because the topic is appropriate for the times. But maybe to just kind of add to what we discussed, maybe we're also discussing something else, Dr. Hudson. Maybe it can also be called a sub-agenda that we talked about here today. I know we talked about a lot of great things about neurodivergent individuals and neurodiversity as a whole, but maybe the sub agenda, Dr. Hudson, was something completely else. Maybe it was something totally different, Dr. Hudson. Maybe what we were also doing here is taking back the power we lost and gave up and the confidence in ourselves each time we were called weird. Get your power back. Get your confidence back. There's no particular category for this. Yeah, you're weird. I'm weird. And I know there's some weird people watching. There's some weird people listening right now. Every time they called you weird, you felt a little bit smaller about yourself. Every time they called you weird, you felt a little bit of your confidence ooze out the door. Get your confidence back. You're weird. Yes, you are surprisingly unusual, uniquely abnormal, and unexpectedly uncanny. There's no one else like you around. Today, we take the word weird back. Yeah, we're taking it back. It may have hurt you, but we're taking it back today. All your confidence that you lost behind the word weird, go ahead, reach up and grab it back. Get it back. Get your confidence back. Get yourself back. Today, we take back the word weird. Today, we're taking the word back from what harmed you anyone that has ever used the word against you to hurt you, to harm you, to make you feel just a little bit less, to make you feel ostracized and make you feel like you weren't included, we take it back. This is what the word weird really means. You're surprisingly unexpected, uniquely different. And I hope that we're all, Dr. Hudson, just a little bit weird. Guys, listen, I got to get out of here. Dr. Hudson, don't go nowhere. Guys, listen, you know me, I got to get out of here. But as always, it's been a real blast. Listen, you can stream right here every Thursday, 6:30 p.m. Central, 7:30 p.m. Eastern to listen to the show. Or you can stream it on your favorite listening platform like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartMusic, and so many more. Guys, as I get out of here, as always, guys, it's been a huge blast. And as always, in parting, if you're going to tell me something, then tell me something good. I'm out of here, y'all. I got to go.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQBar plant protein bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQBars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.